with this.
All right.
Now, this lady that sits right here, she really plays this keyboard, this piano. I bang it. I just hit it. I just crush it. I do whatever. But it is all to the glory of God. So I don't, you know, but I'm telling you, I told her last night, I am so blessed to sit right there and watch her play and hear that. Oh, it just makes me feel so good. It really does. I learned how to play the piano basically sitting one night with Willie Nelson's album playing Unclouded Day. And I'm going, oh, that's G. And I found it. And so I started singing. That's why I started doing it. So from there, I've learned just a little bit. I still don't know what these are. I think the only thing a book is for is to give me the words. That's, I don't know, because I don't know what all that stuff does. But we're going to have fun, all right? Figured I'd do this part of that song, all right? I was working in town one afternoon, attending some business affairs. I heard a commotion a couple streets over and wondered what's happening there. A young man was running in that direction and stopped to catch his breath. Asked him to please tell me what was the hurry. He smiled up at me and he said, I was trying to catch the crippled man. Can't leave him by this way. He was rushing home to tell everyone what Jesus did today. And the mute man was telling myself and the deaf girl, she wants to hide.
I feel better in the corner.
And this, 1983, believe it or not,
1983, I heard this song. We heard this song and thought that is such a beautiful song. And it never made it to the charts. And it is such
a... Have her cut it on.
Have her cut it on.
Testing.
There you go.
Maybe a little loud.
But we heard it on the radio, and I called in, and I was in Fruitland Bible Institute in our college, and I asked them if they'd play that song again. And so they played it, and I recorded it on an old cassette tape. And we just wore it out, playing it over and over and over and over and over.
And I get nervous, so I'm going to be shaky and everything, so just listen to the
words. And we've only done this since 1983. And as I told that brother this evening, don't you ever lose this either. Brother Derek, don't ever lose it. I have preached, and it doesn't matter. I can speak to 50,000 people, and I can talk all day long. You know, these people know me. I've known me since a little boy. But every time I stand in that pulpit, I get nervous because there's a difference. And so the idea that we get nervous when you're delivered, you do when you're music, don't you? You get that. If you're just up there playing, yeah, it's not a problem. But you get you're going, wait a minute, I'm part of a ministry event. There's something different going on. There really is. So.
There've been many, many letters written by many great men. Letters of honor and valor and mercy and brave deeds of many of them. Some were written on parchment and pinned down with ink laced in gold. But the world's greatest letter was written by Jesus in blood. Love, love like this was never known. For God sent his only Son to die for the lost, and the greatest love letter that ever was written was sent from an old rugged cross.
They beat him and mocked him and spat in his face. On a dark, lonely mountain, he hung there in shame and such disgrace. They pierced his side, drove nails in his hands and in his feet. He cried, "Father, forgive them," and these same words are still pleading for me.
Love, love like this was never known. Love, love like this was never shown. For God said, only Son to die for the lost, and the greatest love letter that ever was written was sent from an old rugged cross.
Amen. Amen.
us that time again.
Amen.
Amen. I'm so excited to have Pastor Derek Hightower with us again tonight. And I can't wait to see what God has in store. Come on up, brother.
Good evening. Good evening. How's everybody doing tonight?
Good.
If you're breathing, you're doing good.
Yes,
amen.
Good day.
If you woke up this morning, it's because God gave you another opportunity at this thing called life.
Amen.
Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Matthew. Chapter 14, we're going to look at a very, very familiar story last night, or tonight, that I said something about
last night, and this is the story of Peter walking on the water. Very familiar story. Matthew chapter 14. I'll begin reading in verse 22. The Bible says, "Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It's a ghost!' And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' So he said, 'Come.' And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we ask you now, Lord, to just speak to us through this service, God. I ask you to do what I cannot do for myself, and that is preach your word and exert the truth out of your word to touch our hearts, God. That we've been here, that we want to thank you, Lord, for being here with us thus far through this meeting, through Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, Lord. And here we are Thursday night, God. We're expecting another touch from you, God. And we want to thank you, Lord, in knowing that if we come here tonight expecting to hear from you, God, that we will. And we ask you now, Lord, to just radically shake this place and touch our hearts, Father, like only you can. And we ask it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. First thing I want you to notice is when Jesus says to the disciples in verse 22, they get in the boat. Jesus made his disciples get in the boat, sent them across a body of water into a storm. That's kind of funny, ain't it? Jesus sent his disciples into a storm. But if you notice, Jesus didn't send them into a storm so he could take a nap. He went to go meet with God. That's how important it was that Jesus got alone with God and met with God and wanted to hear from God. So that just goes to show you that oftentimes when you go into a storm, that God has a purpose behind it. You know, things don't just happen to you just by chance or just by accident or, man, life sure has got me down. That I encourage you and I ask you that when you're going through trials, why don't you be looking for what it is Jesus is trying to teach you throughout those trials? I'd be willing to bet that if you figured out what it was Jesus was trying to teach you, that I bet you if you learned it, then the storm would probably be over. But when you start fretting and you start with the anxiety deal and you don't just go straight to God for the answer, then I have a feeling it might prolong the storm longer than it needs to be. What y'all think? Y'all think I might be on to something?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Amen. So I just think it's interesting. It's interesting because oftentimes
I know I do. I do. If nobody else in this room does, I do. But when my life is caught in the middle of a storm, the first thing I want to do is say, God, please stop the winds. Calm the sea. But what if it is the reason I'm in this storm is because God's trying to grow me spiritually? What if God is trying to stretch my faith out a little bit? Maybe. So if I would say, instead of God change my circumstances, what if I were to say, God change me through my circumstances, right? Yeah. Despite my circumstances, God grow me. Don't lessen the storm, you know, strengthen me. So that's just something to be thinking about here. And so we're going to look at here. One thing we know about Peter here that we notice is that despite the storm, when Peter found out Jesus was who he was, he wanted to get close to Jesus. And that's something we're going to take a look at as this thing moves on here. And so in verse 26, it says, at first, when they seen Jesus walking out on the sea, they were troubled and they said, it's a ghost. And that's what you get for watching too many horror movies.
Amen.
I remember whenever I was a young child, I was watching those old demonic things. I don't like watching scary movies now. I feel like they're demonic and they ain't no good. Anything that just promotes fear, I don't think it's a good thing to be watching. And that's just me. I mean, maybe if you do, I mean, that's fine. But not me. And so they thought it was a ghost. But it was Jesus. He said, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. And then listen to Peter. I believe Peter might have stuck his foot in his mouth on this one. And Peter answered, Lord, if it is you, command me to come out on the water. Yes. Hey, I don't think he was really. Have you ever asked God to do something? And you're kind of like, he ain't going to do it. Right? I believe that's kind of what Peter did here. Peter was like, God, if it's you, command me to come out on the water. And maybe he was genuine, but I think he might have spoke before he thought on that one. Anybody in here ever said something before they thought and they wish they could take it back?
Yes, sir.
That's why we got to be careful about hurtful words we say. Because once it leaves these old lips right here, you can't put it back in. It's gone. Yep. And we did a lesson the other night on tame the tongue, and Mr. Gene, he shared a story about him with his childhood. You know, it takes 5 seconds to say it, but it'll take 15 years to heal from the pain from it. And so we got to be careful what we let come out of our mouths.
Amen.
When we're speaking. So Peter says, Jesus, if it's you, command me to come out on the water. And Jesus says, come. And that's quite a statement he just made. Because if you think about it, I'm going to go ahead and go into my 5 points here because I'm going to start getting ahead of myself. I want to talk about 4 things that keep people from getting closer to Jesus. We all see that Peter meant well, but out of all 12 disciples, they were all in the boat. We read it in verse 22. Jesus commanded the disciples to get in the boat and go. So we're going to talk about 4 things that stop people from getting closer to Jesus. And the first one is they don't want to leave their family and friends behind. Their family and friends behind. Oftentimes, when you get closer to Jesus, you'll have to leave some of your close friends and family members behind. Peter. When Peter stepped out of that boat and into that water, every step he took towards Jesus was one step he went further away from his family and his friends. I'd be willing to bet that those 12 disciples were the closest friends Peter had. And if you notice, his friend Andrew, his brother, the one that saved him, was in the boat. And he had to leave him behind. I remember I've told my testimony, and y'all know that I used to struggle with drugs. My family member was praying for me, and a majority of my family was absolutely ecstatic when I got saved. They knew the heartache I had put my mom through. They knew the potential I was just wasting and all these different things. My family was excited when they found out that I had got saved. Not just my parents, but also, you know, my extended family, my cousins I used to come around, my aunts, my uncles, you know, the family you see on Christmas and Easter and Thanksgiving, that kind of family. And now after a while, I got saved, they were happy for me, but now some of them, I've got a little much too much Jesus for them. Too much Jesus for them. They wish I would turn it down a notch, especially when I walk by them and they're sucking on one of them old Winstons. And I'm talking about, bless God, I ain't smoked a cigarette in 2 years because of what Jesus has done. They're going, shut up, you know? So I got a little too much Jesus for them. So anytime you want to get closer to Jesus, sometimes you're going to have to leave some of your friends and your family behind. I'm going to be honest with you. One of the hardest things you can do is witness to a family member. One of your family members that you know is lost as a goose in a snowstorm, and that's lost. And you know they need Jesus, you would probably love nothing more than to see them come to church. One of the most difficult things you can do is try to witness to them. Try to witness to them. Especially and do it out of love and make it feel like, you know, you're doing it out of genuine concern and not condescending, not looking down upon them. That's a difficult thing to do. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. But then again, some of y'all was probably once that family member that somebody else might have witnessed to. And so Peter's closest friends and family were on the boat. So sometimes when you want to get closer to Jesus, you're going to have to leave your friends and family behind. The second thing that can cause you to not get closer to Jesus is a lack of faith. Is a lack of faith. I stopped here when it said when Jesus told Peter to come out on the water because Peter was a fisherman. And if you think about it, they didn't have the Coast Guard back then. They didn't have bullhorns. They didn't have whistles. They didn't have strobe lights. I'm pretty sure growing up around the water that Peter did, that he was taught as a fisherman. He wasn't just a fisherman now. He wasn't like some of us old backwoods fishermen, like, hey, I'm going to go hang me a bass and take it on to the house. If Peter didn't catch fish, he didn't eat. Like, he was serious about this thing now. He was out there. You ever seen some of them crazy TV shows where then people go way out and, like, that's their livelihood? Peter fished for a living. If Peter didn't catch fish, Peter didn't eat. That was the deal. And so, you know, something that goes along with that is you don't get out the boat. They didn't have life vests back then. Getting out of the boat, that was a no-no. You got out to the boat when you were on close to the shore. But you weren't out in the midst of a storm and, hey, I think I'm going to just get out the boat. You didn't do that. That was pretty much something you don't come back from. I'm pretty sure in Bible times, if you were the one that fell out the boat, you were probably the one that they didn't see no more, right? It wasn't unless you washed up on the beach. But so generally, when Jesus is saying, Peter, come, he's telling them to do something that is against every fiber of his being. This definitely ain't something that comes natural. This is something he had to go against the way he was raised. He had to go against some of his biases, just all the things and preconceived notions. He probably even had some horror stories of some friends and some colleagues and some fisher buddies growing up that went over the boat into the water and were gone. So Peter had to exercise fear or faith in this case. In Hebrews 11:1 it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." See, most of the time, Christians, you know where they love to be at? In their comfort zone. That's where they love to be at. They love to be where things are familiar, where they know things at. And for the water for Peter, that was uncharted territory for him. And I can guarantee you, the Bible says, walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. I can guarantee you, if you're a Christian in your comfort zone, then there's probably not a whole lot of walking by faith going on. But if you notice what it says in the definition of faith, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, if you're serving God and you see the outcome, then there ain't a whole lot of faith involved in that. It's only walking by faith when you're like, Jesus, I don't know the outcome. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I just know that just for today, I'm serving you, God. I don't know how I'm going to pay for this thing. I don't know where the funds are going to come from. I just know that the Spirit that dwells within me is telling me to march on. Amen. That's walking by faith. See, you notice, I think it's just a natural thing to fear the unknown. If you don't believe me, my mother, right, whenever I was a teenager, used to be out and about. And she would be like, I can guarantee you one thing. Whenever I was out doing wrong, whenever I left and I was out past curfew, when I got home, I could guarantee you one or two people was going to be on that couch waiting. My dad or my mom, when I came in, whatever time it was going to be there waiting because they feared the unknown. They didn't know where I was. They didn't know what I was doing. They didn't know when I was coming home. And they couldn't sleep because of it. They feared the unknown. I think the same thing is, I've seen this really dumb bumper sticker that says, Jesus is my co-pilot. Well, if Jesus ain't driving, then you've got a problem. Yes. Jesus better be your pilot. Amen. And I've said that before at my church, I know. Yes, sir. And that's the problem. People want control. They're like, I'll serve Jesus as long as I can see the sharp corners coming. But when things get misty and Jesus is telling me to come on out on the water, sometimes it's difficult to step out to put that first foot out of that boat, is it not? Not knowing what's going to happen. So the second thing that stops people from getting any closer to Jesus is a lack of faith. A lack of faith. See, a lot of people are like, you know what, God, I'm willing to do this as long as I got plan B in place. Amen. Hey, and Jesus is saying, listen, I'm not interested in plan B. I'm interested in plan me. Jesus wants plan Jesus. If there's a plan B going on, Jesus most of the time ain't going to show up in plan A. I've learned that the hard way. And trust me, I've learned too many lessons the hard way. These grays are coming in. I need to quit it. I need to start learning from other people's mistakes instead of learning from my own mistakes. Can I get an amen right there?
That works.
Whew. So the third reason I suspect people don't want to get closer to Jesus is because they don't want to look Jesus in the face. And let me explain to you what I mean by that is. You know, a lot of people are content with where they're at as a Christian. They're like, you know what? I can quote a couple Bibles. I can quote 10 verses. I'm pretty comfortable with where I am spiritually. They don't want to look Jesus in the face. People know that when you get closer to Jesus, he's going to demand a holier and holier lifestyle. The Bible calls it sanctification. I think too many Christians these days have, you know what? I got my hellfire insurance. I'm good to go. I don't see any reason to press in and try to get any closer to Jesus than I am now. I remember in the Bible when Moses brought the Israelites up on the mountain one time to see with Jesus, to meet with God. And when he came in on that booming, thunderous cloud, they say, oh no, I don't want to be close to God. We need a spokesman. Go on up there, Moses, and tell us what he said. And what happened? They were down there fooling around, goofing off, doing all sorts of ungodly backsliding because they didn't want to get close to Jesus. Because they were scared of the holiness that God was going to hold them to. Amen. And that's the same thing that happened to the Israelites. Secondly, people don't want to get close to Jesus because they don't want to look Jesus in the face. Poor Peter, when he denied Jesus, what does the Bible say? He followed Jesus, but it was from afar off.
That's right.
It was from afar off. Yeah. When he followed Jesus, Jesus got arrested. And Paul came kind of puttering on down behind, right? But what did Peter. What did Peter end up doing? When he denied Jesus, where was he? He was warming himself at the enemy's fire. Don't warm yourself at the enemy's fire. How could you expect to stand up for Jesus if you're following him from afar off? Peter was, he seemed surprised that he denied Christ. It's no surprise to me. Anytime you're following Jesus from afar off, you can't expect to stand up for him. That's for sure.
Amen.
The closer you get to Jesus now, the less regrets you will have later on. There's a verse in the Bible that says, when you stand before Jesus, what's he going to do? Wipe away every tear. Will he not? What do you think those tears are going to come from? Some people may speculate and say, well, they're joyful tears. They're happy tears. I believe that they're tears of regret. I believe they're regretful tears. I believe when you stand before Jesus, he shows you all that you could have did for the kingdom of heaven, all the people's lives you could have impacted if you would have just got out of the boat. But some people don't want to get closer to Jesus because they know that that's the hard road. The Bible says the narrow way is hard and difficult. The Bible says, The Bible says that broad is the way and easy is the road that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way and difficult is the path that leads to eternal life. People don't want to get close to Jesus because it's the difficult way. It's hard. They want to just put it in cruise control. They don't like that word. You notice the 12 disciples. Where do you think the word discipline comes from? There's a lot of discipline that's going to be involved with getting closer to Jesus. There's not going to be any fly-by-night, lackadaisicals. It's going to be lots of planning, lots of organization, lots of hard time put into this thing called faith. Faith will keep sweat on your brow.
Yes.
And it'll keep your knees, what did they call James? Oh, camel knees.
Camel knees.
Yep. It'll keep you praying. It'll keep sweat on your brow. It'll keep you paying attention to what's going on. Reverend Billy Graham, I like to listen to his sermons back when they were still in black and white. And he was telling a story about how he was off. He was off preaching somewhere. And he was in a third world country. And he was still kind of learning some of their dialects. And he couldn't quite bring it home. He couldn't come up with a translator. They didn't really have a word for surrender. You know, the way you like have to surrender and depend fully on Jesus. And he seen one of these guys. He was kind of leaning back on a chair. And he came up with the word recline. He's like, what's that word there when you just kind of put your entire weight on something? And it came up with recline. You know, in order to walk by faith and draw closer to Jesus, you have to recline your whole weight on Jesus. Amen. Everything has to be fully dependent upon His strength and not your own strength. Amen. The fourth reason people don't draw closer to Jesus is because they're afraid of failures. See, most people, I can prove it to you. Most people, the only thing you know about Peter walking on water is that he sank. Come on now. The only thing people remember are failures. Think about it. If you bring up, hey, remember the time Peter walked on water? You're going to say, oh yeah, he sank. That's all people remember. They don't remember anything else about the story except for Peter failed. You know, oftentimes it's so much easier. They say negativity spreads like wildfire. But here's the good part about failure is failure ain't final. Failure is not final. Period. It says in verse 30 that, but when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Peter failed because he was more worried about the wind and the waves than he was Jesus. The Bible says that look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, despising the shame, pretty much went to the cross and bore our sin. It says, since you are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, look unto Jesus. Amen. That people are watching you. That it almost feels like that there's a crowd watching you, like my brother was talking about here, that when you get up to sing for the ministry, it's kind of like that feeling you get. Yes. That feeling you need to perform. That people are watching you. And some people don't want to push it to the limit and live by faith because they're scared of failure. Amen. They're scared of how they'll look. They're scared of what people will think about them. And what they need to realize is that all you have to do is cry out to God and He will catch you with His hand. We don't know how far Peter made it. We just know that he stepped out of the boat. The Bible doesn't say he took 12 steps. He was almost to Jesus. Or maybe he just hopped out of the boat like this right here and didn't go nowhere. We don't know. But what we do know is that whenever he cried out to Jesus, Jesus, when? In a week or so? In an hour or so? Immediately reached out and saved him. Aren't you glad that when you cry out on God, you don't have to take a number? Aren't you glad you don't have to wait? Oh my goodness, you want to talk about waiting on hold? Oh yes, can you hold 1 minute, please? And that elevator music. Aren't you glad that when you cry out to God, you don't have to hear any elevator music? Aren't you glad that He is powerful enough He's powerful enough to provide all of our needs simultaneously? Amen. That we can all cry out to God at the same time and He can save all of us. Amen. He can help all of us. Amen. He can strengthen all of us. He does. You know, I don't know about you, but you ever wanted to buy something? You're like, man, I really wanted one of those. But I need to check my account balance first. I'm not sure if this is going to put me and my bills in a tight spot. Well, God don't have to worry about that. When you cry out to God, He doesn't have to check His account balance. He's got plenty of funds. He's got plenty of resources. He's got everything He needs to bless your socks off.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I bet you He didn't. I bet you whenever He lifted up old Peter, his feet didn't even sink a quarter inch. Huh? I guarantee you they didn't. Nothing to it. Just jerked him right on up, got into the boat, and calmed the waves and calmed the sea.
Amen.
And because of the testimony, the Bible says that those in verse 33, those who were in the boat came and worshipped Him, saying, truly, You are the Son of God. Amen. Truly, You are the Son of God. So I bet you if you would have pulled Peter aside at the end, and said, "Hey, Peter, if you would have had your choice and you could go back, would you have still gotten in the boat and gone through the storm?" I bet you he would have said, "Heck yeah, man."
Yes, sir.
Because yeah, I failed, and it was tough. It was tough when I failed, and I sunk in front of my buddies. They probably picked at him a little bit and stuff like that. And, you know, but he's like, "You know what? When Jesus grabbed my hand, that is just an unmistakable, I'll never forget that. I'll never forget the time I cried out on Jesus and he saved me." Immediately, he saved me. So as we close tonight, I would ask you to stop and think that, is there anything that's stopping you from getting out of the boat? That I believe Jesus is calling us out of the boat to walk by faith and not by sight. Jesus is calling us. There's a verse in the Bible, or it may be a song lyric, I can't remember. It says, "Plant my feet on higher ground." I believe God is calling us to a greater faith. I believe God is calling us to draw closer to Him, to do like Jesus did at the beginning of this story. Even though the disciples went out, Jesus went to be alone with God. Jesus wanted to be hooked up to the man with all the power. He wanted to be hooked up with God. He wanted to be in tune with God. You know, everything Jesus ever said was the straight will of God. He didn't have any idle babblings. He didn't say anything that didn't absolutely glorify God. Everything he said had the sole purpose of bringing God glory. You know, he never misspoke. He never said anything that he didn't need to be, because he stayed hooked up with God. I mean, he was God, but I'm saying as far as his humanly nature was concerned, he stayed prayed up. He stayed studied up. He stayed encouraged up. He stayed all of the above. And so tonight, if you feel like you ain't been living right, if your faith, if something's holding back your faith, then tonight is the night you could get it right. Brother Sammy, do we have a number tonight?